Open your Bibles here tonight. We'll be starting the book of Matthew, and we'll go to Galatians, and we'll go back to the book of Matthew here tonight. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Then were brought unto him little children, and he should put their hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Allow, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God that is truth. I thank you, Lord, that your word is forever settled in heaven because it's the eternal word of God. Lord, bless us as we gather around your word. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to each heart here tonight. And Father, I thank you for your word, the promises, the hope, the assurance, the joy, and the instruction that your word gives to us. And Lord, in these last of the last days, may our hearts and minds be fixed on thee. So bless your word. May I be a vessel that honors your son, Jesus Christ, and honors your holy name here. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak to each heart. So Lord, as we gather around, may you feed us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, it's kind of interesting, this little few verses, these three verses, these children were brought to Jesus, and the disciples like, you know, no, he's busy, you don't need to be around him, and we got things, important things to do. But the scripture says here that Jesus rebuked them, and he wants people to come unto him. Now, allow little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So what is the kingdom of heaven like? It's like little children can enter in. Little children can understand the grace of God and the love of God in their hearts. In a childlike way, they can trust in the Lord as much as anyone can. And he prayed for them in verse 15. What's interesting is you have the simplicity of children, and then in verse 16, it rolls into this rich young ruler. Now, what's interesting about the contrast here is the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, it's able for little ones to receive it and understand it. But sometimes when we get this big, we can't get our hands around it. And this rich young ruler, it's a contrast here between the two, that is the gospel able to reach young children? Absolutely. And Jesus wants them. Don't you stop them coming to me. But then you get in this passage of rich young ruler and how he was one that walked away sorrowful. And I'd like to look at this here tonight. Now, before we get into verse 16 and following, we got the children here. Now, how many use a mirror at your house? Does a mirror tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth when you look at it? Is it kind of scary sometimes when you look in the mirror? Is that really me? You know, the mirror doesn't, does the mirror make you look better? Or does it just show exactly what's there? Now, the only way a mirror makes you look better, if you went to a circus and had one of those bent mirrors and make you look real skinny, if you like that appearance, you know, you can have that. But that's distortion. That's not reality. So a mirror, the purpose of the mirror is just to show you what you are. It doesn't add to it, doesn't take away with it. It's just who you are, the mirror. Well, in this encounter here, now, the Lord Jesus had a question put to him. And this is a question, verse 16. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, let's just suppose you didn't know what followed. You never read this before. If somebody came up to you and said, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? Tell me, how can I have eternal life? Would you think that is one of those questions like, yeah, I've waited on. How many people have you had come up to you and ask that? You know, it's most people aren't seeking God. And to have this question is like huge. It's like, wow. I mean, how many people die to have that kind of question just given to them? Now, just set this aside for a minute. What would you say to somebody if they ask you, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What would you say? Give me an example. I believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Anything? What else would you say? Anything else? That's all good. Okay, Romans Road. Okay, right. For all sin comes short of the God. Okay, sin. Bring up the topic of sin. Okay, sure. Right. And every answer I've heard tonight is what most people would give in one way or another. But you know what's interesting? Jesus didn't do that. Look what he said. And behold, one came unto him. Now remember, children can get this. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, this is not what you, if you look in a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, this response here is not what you would expect. If you were out soul winning, why would you, and he said to them, why callest thou me good? From right from the get-go, he kind of like pushes back a little bit and challenges him. Now, I've heard people take this verse and they try to diminish the deity of Christ or prove he's not good because they say, well, he says here, he says that is God. There's none good but one that is God. Well, he's saying right there he's not God. No, he's not saying that. Listen to it in this sense. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one that is God. Are you saying I'm God by calling me good master? He kind of puts that out there. Are you calling me God? Because Jesus had done many miracles and many things, and Peter had said to him earlier in Matthew here, Matthew 16, he said, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, it was out there. I mean, people, who was Jesus? Until Jesus said to him, you call me good? There's none good but God. You call me God? Well, now everything we said here tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Romans Road, creation, all these things, that's all good. But there's a truth here that I think we can pick up on to help us win people to Christ. Now, we all know people, and we want to win them Christ. Now, the first thing, if thou enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, I must tell you, when I read that years and years and years and years ago, I was like, why didn't you give him John 3:16 like he did Nicodemus? And, you know, why didn't he say, believe on me? He said, if you enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, what is the purpose of the commandments?
It's to show you that you're a sinner because you okay. can't keep all the commandments.
Okay, it's that what? Mirror that doesn't lie. Do you see the importance of the mirror? Because if somebody doesn't know what they look like, they may be deceived who they really are. All the mirror does is show what's really there. And before you can get somebody saved, what do you have to get them?
To show they're a sinner.
Okay. What's another way to say that? To show they're
lost.
If they're saved from their sins, what are they saved from? Their sins. In other words, you got to get them totally lost. Now, if your neighbor is so you're living in your house one night and you look across the street and the neighbor's got fire coming out of his roof, and you go over and bang on his door and say, you got to get out of your house on fire. And he comes in the door and says, I don't see any smoke. I don't believe that. But if you say, look at the roof, and he looks out the roof, he's like, oh, you're right. You see, as soon as he sees the fire, he knows his house on fire. If he doesn't think his house on fire, he may think you're joking him. And if people don't know that they've broken God's commandments and they're lost, they'll never want to get saved. They won't, even though their house may be burning, you can see it, but unless they're convinced of it, they won't respond. Now, Karen, what you're saying is right. Why did Jesus go to the commandments? Because he knew this man's heart. Why callest thou me good? Now, back up a little bit in verse 16. You have to be so careful to listen to people. What did the rich young ruler say? Good master, very respectful. Also, he's a ruler, so we know that he's one that carries himself well. He knows how to have authority. What good thing shall I, what's that next word? Do. Now, see, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was looking for something to do. Now, to the Jewish man, they were told to keep God's commandments. They're in this mindset. But the commandments are not to produce self-righteousness. Commandments are to show that we're a sinner before God and we need his grace and mercy. And sometimes when we give people the gospel, we jump right to the gospel and not take the law to hold that mirror up. Because if we move too fast into the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, they don't see who they really are because deep down in their hearts they think, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. And they don't see that their house is on fire. They don't understand that they need Christ. I remember Joe Hale, a missionary in South Korea, he told this story at Christian school. And they used to give the gospel to the school kids in the beginning of the year, and a few would get saved, but not many. But it really bothered him. And what he did was he started going through the Old Testament with all the laws, creation, Old Testament, and the whole first semester he wouldn't share the gospel invitation till after they had an understanding of the law of God, the creation of God, the power of God, the sovereignty of God. And then way down here he would give them, and he had many, many more salvations because their hearts were repaired. They realized they needed a Savior. And I think sometimes we so quickly move to, for God loves you, and you know, Christ has died for your sins, but we don't show the law. So let's look how he handled it here. He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, we're not saved by it, but what he was setting this up here, you want to do something? All right, keep the commandments. And so he challenged Jesus in 18. Well, which? Okay, which one? Because there's a lot of them. Very good, okay? So he hits these that dealt from relational, from man to man. Thou shalt do no murder. Don't kill your fellow man. Thou shalt not commit adultery against your fellow citizen. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't steal. Honor your father and mother. Relationship. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That last one, thou shalt love thy neighbor self, that takes in a lot of territory, doesn't it? That's a pretty big one. So the young man saith unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. Now, stop right there. Wow, that is quite a statement to say, I have always honored my parents every time. I have always loved my neighbors. I love myself. That is a huge statement to say, I've kept all these things. Now, when somebody does that, sometimes you have to get a bigger hammer out. Do you know what I'm saying? Because this hammer wasn't breaking the hardness of his heart yet. Okay, Jesus said, okay, you've kept all these. I got one more here for you. If thou will be perfect, okay, if you want to go to heaven, okay, you want to be perfect, if you want to be, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now stop right there. Okay, he's asked to give up his earthly treasures so that he may have heavenly treasure. Okay, it's an even up deal. He's not losing anything. He'll have heavenly treasure. What he gives up here, he'll gain over here. His net loss is zero. You give here, but you'll gain over here. You're not losing anything. You have nothing to lose. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Now, you got to see on the inside what's going on. Now, he said he loved his neighbor as himself. So if he had a poor neighbor, now you have the poor with you what? Always. Is there any lack of poor people around? If you love the poor, loved your neighbor, and you gave him something and him something and him something, at the end of a few weeks, you probably could give everything you had away and still not taking care of all the poor. So it's obviously he didn't love his neighbor as himself in this sense. The young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He couldn't humble himself. Yes. And you know what's interesting about that, Karen? Let's read down a little further. And he said unto him, and Jesus, for he had great possessions, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verse 23, verily, truly, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, people have spilled a lot of ink over this. What does this mean? Okay. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. Okay, you had your big gates at night, you know, the city gates, huge, big. They pull them up and they close up the city for protection. They had a little gate that was beside the big gate so that somebody who's trying to get there, and let's just say he's running really late and he's trying to get for the close the gate, doesn't make it. But he can go through they used to call it the camel gate, the little gate there, the needle. And that was just bare enough for a man to go through because you couldn't really worry about soldiers coming in because it was so little, it'd be easy to defend it. But sometimes a man might want to get his camel in so that he can get some water and provisions for him. So the camel would have to get down on his knees and kind of scoot through this little gate. Now, what is that an image of if the camel's going down like this? He's humbling himself. And it's, see, what does the rich man have to do? He has to bow down, just like that camel had to bow down to get through the gate. If you want to get through the gate of heaven, you're going to be just like a camel. You got to humble yourself and bow down. And the camel can bow down, but a rich man won't bow down if they love their riches. It's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. And that was a problem here. The things had this man. Well, the law is something God's put in our toolbox to show people who they are. Well, turn over here to Galatians here for a moment. And verse 24 of Galatians 3. And just talk about this one verse here. The whole chapter there in Galatians 3 talks about the law, but we'll just pick out this one verse here. Verse 24 of Galatians 3. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Now, what's a schoolmaster? A schoolmaster is one that parents would have children. The schoolmaster would be one that would take the children and get them to school. Like we got the bus driver today that picks up the children for a bus. Schoolmaster is one that would take the students to school and oversee them. He was their schoolmaster. He would help them through their school process to get to and from in their school day. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. What was the law for? To bring us to Christ. So we might be justified by faith, not justified by the law. See, how do things get so upside down? Instead of the law bringing people to humility, it made them proud because they thought, I'm keeping the law. I'm really somebody here. But the law, if they were really seeing the mirror correctly, they would see how much they've fallen short of the glory of God. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So if we want to see people justified by faith, use the law to bring them to Christ and help them to understand where they stand with Christ. Well, most people proclaim their own goodness. If you ask them, are you a good person? Are you a good person? Most people say, yeah, I'm a good person. But the reality, you can compare yourselves one to another, but compare yourself to God, you're not a good person. You've broken God's commandments. That's why all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. So in this passage here with the rich young ruler, our Lord Jesus used the commandments to show his true heart where he was. The prevailing attitude of the times, if you were rich, you had God's blessing. You had, and that's why the disciples, when they heard of verse 25, when Jesus talked about it's easier, rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, when the disciples heard it, they were amazed, exceedingly amazed. Who then can be saved? Now, we have children getting saved, childlike faith. We have an adult here who doesn't even see who he really is. And we had the disciples here marveling that who then can be saved? Can you get anybody saved? Can't. Verse 26 agrees with you. With men, this is what? Impossible. With God, all things are what? Possible. To be born again is born from above. You can plant a seed, you can water it, but salvation is a God thing. You can't control that. And so this week, think about using the law. If somebody, you want to win in Christ, just ask them, are you a good person? You a good person? You a good person? You a good person? And if they say, yeah, we'll just say, can I give you a little test here? And just use the Ten Commandments. How do you line up here? And if God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, is it heaven or hell for you? And it's amazing. Some people will realize, I don't pass the test. It'd be hell for me.
Well, maybe God grades on the curve.
His holiness and his justice wouldn't let that happen. I know. And that's why, Karen, it's impossible. You just can't deal with some people. It's a God thing. If they open, God has to open their eyes. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, would the early church ever expect the Apostle Paul to get saved? No. And you can have people you think will never get saved. But you don't give up. You keep praying and sharing and being faithful and living for the Lord and doing all you can do because it's a God thing. We don't give up on anybody. And if God can save the Apostle Paul, God can save anybody. But it's a God moment. But for our part, use the law lawfully. Use it to show people who they really are. You know, they've broken God's commandments, and they stand under judgment. If you don't do it, let's just say you're a little afraid and you get a little tongue-tied sharing the gospel. Did you make that person any more lost than when he was when you started witnessing to him? Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people are afraid, well, I don't know what to say. Well, you can't make them any more lost than what they are. And if they ask you a question you don't know, you know what you do? You say, that's a good question. Let me think about it. I'll get back to you. And you just handle it like that. And then you get the answer and you talk to them again. But I think this is a good encouragement for us that we use the commandments of God to help people find their lost. Because what happens if you pick the fruit before it's ripe? Well, it tastes terrible. But in soul winning, it's like especially for children, because they want to please their parents and they'll do anything. You want to get saved? Yeah, I want to get saved. But what you want to do, you don't want to pick it too early. You want to make sure that they understand they're a sinner. They understand that, you know, what Jesus did on the cross. They understand heaven and hell, and they want to get saved from their sin. Children can do that. God says, you know, allow the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not. For such as, you know, a little child can get it. So this week, let us be conscious of people around us. And they're everywhere. Billions of them. There's no lack of opportunity. All right, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And Father, the rich young ruler, Lord, deep in his heart, God, he had a lot of issues between you and him. And Father, help us to use the law lawfully to bring people to Christ. And I pray that we'd see the power, that we'd see the law as something you've given to put in our spiritual toolbox, so to speak, God, that we can pull that out and help people see who they really are in the mirror of the law. And I pray, Lord, that we would use the law lawfully to bring men and women, boys and girls to Christ. Help us not to pick the fruit too early till they see that they're lost and they need a Savior. And I pray that this week we would see somebody get saved through our efforts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.